But if you leave me, I can
listening to Sika on 90.3 FM. This is Kiara. Welcome to my show today. I'm just going to throw a little playlist together for you guys, and I hope you enjoy. Today, I actually have two guests coming to visit me all the way from the United States. They're my friends, Solange and Clara.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here. Mm-hmm. I'm Solange. This is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to to hear the playlist.
Yeah, let's hear some tunes, Keith.
Yes. So as you guys might have recognized, that first song was by Feist. It was called Inside and Out. Feist is a Canadian band. And on the same Canadian trend, we're going to listen to some Daniel Caesar, Cyanide. And then we're actually going to play local Montreal artist Awa B. I'm going to play her song Hold On from her EP Sad in a Good Way. I actually got to see this artist live. She's such a great time. She's so much fun. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. So here is Cyanide by Daniel Caesar.
Yeah. Inside it's in them called Sweet Melody Wap, girl. You come in like a friend in the air. Inside it's in them called DCs. And girl, them please, I'm out of the visa. Oh!
Thirsty for release, won't come compliment me. Then become an enemy. Cop a flight to Paris, low key. It's you, baby girl, I'm trying to breathe. Please, baby, try understand me. I'm not a monster, I'm just a man with knees. I take flights when I learn it's time to go. Trying to take time back, crossing timing zones. Compress your lips upon me. LSD got me feeling empathy. One for all to mind chemically. Cause we suffer endlessly. Could be kamikaze. Only time will tell. Even though I'm godly, might end up in hell.
Sweet melody.
Chocolate, sweet melanin. Forevermore, you gon' be my kin. With devil jars binding, let no man enter in. Give me a love, it's unrequited. The thought of you gets me excited. I guess I'll come to your crib uninvited. A few of your favorite vices. Girl, I know you like it. Girl, you came through lightning. You light up my life, you lightning. Then he be good, that's unlikely. But job be coming down, yeah. Turn my life around, yeah.
Sweet melody. Wind up your body upon me. You're loving, baby girl, you know we need it, need it. Let me fight for it, be achieving.
Chocolate, sweet melanin. Forevermore, you gon' be my kin. With devil jars binding, let no man enter in.
Thank you. before, but look on the bright side. Harder than it looked when you wanna try. Look around and if I'm not there, there's someone else that could help. Find beauty in no plans, no one's needed to heed. Are you ready? Ready to move on? Move on, cause we will be ready to hold on, hold on.
Guys, I hope that you guys enjoyed that. Again, that was Ewa B with Hold On. She is, again, a underground Montreal artist that I really like. And next up, I'm actually going to play Bixi by Kyurak, who is another up-and-coming Montreal rapper. I really, really like his stuff, and I think you guys are going to dig it as well. Here we go. Hope you guys enjoy.
Ra ra ra, j'suis le ra ra ra, sans mon Vixi. Fuck ton Vixi, yeah. J'roule sur parc, mais j'ai pas mes cars, mais j'ai pas mon permis. Je l'ai dernier à passer mes cours de conduite, mais j'ai mon Vixi, fait que dans le gué, on est à Montréal. All star sur mon vélo loué. Full start, se demande who's that. Le polé pour rouiller. Dans mes écouteurs, boom bap, full rap, new life. Comme si Mufa, ça m'avait réveillé. J'suis au café, mais j'suis pioué. Pédale vite, mais fais attention, gravier est mouillé. Sur mon siège, j'me sens douillé. Mais mes pants sont tous souillés, pas j'ai ride toute la journée.
Ton vélo, tu peux te le mettre où je le pense. Sur mon bic, si je rate bien, on dirait que
On y va, deux pédales, plus trop vitesse, shimano. Run a robe de chambre comme si c'était un kimono. Tu pensais c'était ça que c'est mes boyeux qui proco. J'arrive sur mon vélo d'enfance, pas vraiment mon vélo. Vélo, 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 c'est comme un vélociraptor. Ma mère m'a dit que je suis un casque dans la vie puis la mort. Puis je ride jamais sous, puis je ride jamais high. J'annonce tous mes virages, puis je freine au red light. So.
Ra, 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 je suis le ra, ra, ra. Sur mon bic, si, fais ton bic, si, yeah. J'roule sur parc, mais j'ai pas mes cars. Mais j'ai pas mon permis, je l'ai dernier à passer mes cours de conduite. Mais j'ai mon Bixi fait gangue, on est à Montréal.
Personne peut me toucher quand je roule sur mon. Je me distingue très bien de la foule sur mon. Le poulet veut rejoindre sa poule sur son. Je me sens cool sur mon, je me la coule sur mon.
Deux sous, pas besoin de faire le pouce-pouce. Sur le plateau, il y a une station tous les 12 pouces. Sur le plateau, on mélange bagel et couscous. Tous sur un vélo et un vélo pour tous. Mais tu connais la mère et celui que je vais être commandité. J'ai tellement d'idées, je suis excité. Je vais être la mascotte officielle de ma cité. Fuck you, P, c'est un groupie, c'est un newbie, man. Je parle de ma ville à chaque new beat. Mon pays, c'est mon île comme un Luffy.
Hi, my GG and MVP, my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. It's Michelle. I'm a little bit late. I don't even know if I'm speaking on air right now. But it's Panacea back Thursdays from 2 to 3. I'm just a little bit late, but we're going to get organized, and then we're going to start chatting. I really wanted to DJ today. because I thought that would be fun, but every time I plug my USB into the DeX, it doesn't work, so maybe that won't be happening today. But yeah, enjoy this song for now. I have to go get my San Pellegrino. Bye.
Take your time when talking to a nigga.
Hi,
I don't waste none. Knock you off your feet and then I flee before the Jakes come. Sick of hearing cases from these niggas who ain't face none. But I'ma be the nigga that they feeling when the day come. Thirsty for the pay, young niggas let it straight. Straight bullet hit my brother in his motherfucking face. What's fate when a person don't deserve what he get? Shooting reckless at the father, almost murdered the kid. Or is it karma for the shit that both the parents that did? Ain't embarrassed where I'm living, we get married for kills. From a family of niggas that was veteran skilled. Bold and heartless cause my mama made me part of the guild. Deals made, selling thrills, paid the bills at the crib. Drag him down by the river, he'll be missing for years. And them funerals was usual, ain't shedding no tears. Knew the fallen had it better off than most of us did. Cause shit, heaven knows, heaven's gates probably closed. And these hoes in the race for the gold. We was raised on that fork in the road. No food on our plate, just the meals that we stole. Yeah.
I spit that prayer hand emoji, the shit that in Jacoby, the holiest, the holy, Nick Nolte and some Oakleys, that's a flex though, cover up the issues that I kept close, sober I can't deal, I'm in the corner with my head low, running from my shadow, never ending chase, ease the pain of the battle that's within me, sniff the same shit that got Whitney, the high heel depression, my temple feel the metal coming out the Smith and Wesson bang, say a prayer, leave my brains on the tile floor, my bitch hate me, always tell me I should smile more, off them drugs that hit you in your spinal cord. This is shit I need to keep the climate warm. Wish I could get high, space migration. Pretend I can just fly the great vibrations. The magazines need a quote. But I'm gone, sorry I don't even know. Yo. Whoa, oh, oh. Yeah. And this pain, and this pain, and this pain, and this pain. Mixed up with this rain, this rain, this rain.
All right, guys, I hope that you enjoyed that. And Solange, you want to say anything about the last song we listened to?
No, it was, we're all from Pittsburgh, so mm-hmm. Mac Miller holds, like, I don't know, not to speak for everyone, but Mac Miller has a special place in all of our hearts.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Every time I listen to him, it's just, like, puts me in, like, a good mood, but obviously, like,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to remember him.
Yeah, for nostalgia reasons as well. Very nostalgic. We really, really liked him. He lived in a neighborhood really close to where we live. My friend Clara, he lived right in her neighborhood. We went to the same preschool as him. So we're very, very big Mac fans. And yeah, so continuing on with the show, we're going to listen to Final Form by Sampa the Great. She is a African up-and-coming rapper. Make sure I know exactly where she's from before I put her on air.
Hi, we're back for real now. Okay, today has been a little bit chaotic, so I haven't really gotten a chance to just, like, sit for a sec. I hope you enjoyed that pre-recorded program for the first 20 minutes. Sorry about not being here. I'm thinking maybe today we can talk about setting goals and how to motivate ourselves and how to motivate other people. Yeah, because we don't have a lot of time, but as always, let's begin with a song. I was supposed to have a guest basically on the show today, but they were actually unable to make it today, so I kind of have a blank show today just to yap a little bit. So I think it would be fun to talk about setting goals, especially as we're, you know, reaching like the summer and like we're refocusing our priorities and things might be changing. I think it might be a great time to evaluate how we set our goals. And also, actually, mid-year is actually a better time to set goals than it is if you were to set them at the beginning of the year, like New Year's resolutions. But we'll talk a little bit about that after this song. This is Jungle. I've Been in Love.
Am I testing? Might get arrested. She's sitting in my new shit. We still getting messy. Playing Anita while she got her feet up. And she lit me from the neck up. All I wanna do is fuck it. I don't care if you rush it. Only care if you touch it. Damn, this energy buzzing. Backseat for good loving. You could've just got a hotel. You look good for oh well. Only care if you want me.
Sorry.
We in back of my Tesla, and we might get arrested. She know this my new shit. We still acting reckless. Playing Anita, but I got her feet up, and she looking from the neck up. All I wanna do is fuck it up. Yeah. I take my time if she give me that.
Okay. That was I've Been in Love. So we're going to talk about setting goals. Goal setting is really interesting because I learned a lot about this in my course last year. And I realized that I was very disillusioned about how to set proper goals. And so when we set New Year's resolutions, for example, that's a goal, right? We're trying to... it's like a sort of self-change attempt, something to try and, you know, make us feel better about what we're doing and sort of have something to work towards over the next year. But it's very normative to fail at your goals. Like, for example, people who try to quit smoking have tried more than 10 times on average to quit smoking before they successfully do so. And so, the problem with New Year's resolutions and their goals is that it takes many attempts before we succeed. And we sometimes can base a lot of our desires and stake a lot of our self-worth on reaching these goals. And if we don't, we're sort of really discouraged. Or at least I know I get really discouraged when I don't meet my goals, especially when they're like really small and simple sometimes. But I set goals for myself all the time, not just at the beginning of the year, and I don't really set myself New Year's resolutions anymore. But I set goals for myself like throughout the whole year. It's just that we're more likely to keep track of our failures at our New Year's resolutions because every new year we reflect on our goals from the year before. But goal setting is an everyday event, and some of the goals that we set just aren't as salient as our New Year's ones. in this one study that done with people with a specific kind of resolution, they were asked to do this study, and they were asked how much you desired, they desired to change. They did like ratings of the goals that they had. And they were also asked about how ready they felt to pursue this resolution. And so after 2 years, 90% of people in this group reported failing at reaching their goals. And after 1 year, 80% reported failure at reaching their goals. And so failing at your goals is very normative. We shouldn't be so self-critical or seeing this failure as a negative thing or as indicative of us not being able to do something, because failing at your goals is so normal. It's just like sometimes it just takes more time to reach them. And every time you fail, I like to think about everything that I do in terms of an upward spiral. So everything that I don't think that I'm good at, or that I continue to fail at, or it doesn't seem like I'm making any progress, I always have to remind myself, like, I actually am making progress because I'm in a different place now, and I hold a lot more knowledge now than I did when I experienced this thing last time. And so I continue spiraling up, but like from a different perspective, it might look like you're just spinning around in circles, but you're actually spinning up. So you got to look at it from a side perspective. I don't know if that makes sense. I wish you could like see my hands right now. Anyways, so they ask these participants these questions of how much do they want to change and how much do they feel ready to pursue this resolution, because they're trying to get at something about predictors of reaching your goals. And what they found was that some predictors of reaching your goals is a desire to change and a readiness to change and self-efficacy, right? It's self-efficacy is about whether you have a sense of being able to do the actions that we would be required to reach your goal. So do you have the confidence that you have the capabilities to achieve this goal? And a lot of reasons that people list as why they maybe didn't reach their New Year's resolutions was either because it was a deliberate decision, like sometimes they just decided to give up on their goals, right? Or they lack the willpower, right? This is what most researchers hit upon when we talk about reaching our goals. Willpower is defined as sort of self-control, right? It's not the case that some of us have less self-control or more than other people. We all have a limited amount of self-control. This is like a hypothesis or a theory that we all have a limited set amount of self-control, and where we may face situations where we use a lot of those self-control resources. And when we set a new goal, it requires like additional resources that we aren't necessarily able to give because we just don't have them at that time. I'll get a little bit more into that in a second. So people either forgot about their goals, they lacked the willpower, they made a deliberate decision to stop pursuing that goal, or due to factors beyond their control, like distractions, obstacles, or injuries, and competing goals. So willpower is just essentially what we're describing as self-control, right? It's the ability to guide your actions in pursuit of a goal. And there's this definition of self-control by these two researchers, Baumeister and Heatherton. Those are such like distinguished names. Okay. Anyways, they say that self-control is the capacity to alter or override one's typical or habitual way of responding. So you're going against what your natural inclination is, and you're overriding this typical way of responding to bring your response in line with the standards like ideals, values, morals, and social expectations, and the capacity to override your short-term considerations to support the pursuit of more valued long-term goals. So kind of like partly it's being able to override the way that you actually want something that you might be wanting to do in order to do something that you know that you have to do or that you should do. And the other part of it is being able to experience delayed gratification. So like, I'm really bad at delayed gratification unless it serves me a really positive purpose. Like, for example, I was eating pistachios in bed the other day, and I was eating them, but I hate peeling pistachios one by one. And so I was, instead of just peeling them one by one, I would peel a bunch of them at once and then have all of the pistachios in my hand and all of the shells done so that I could just eat them all at once instead of doing it one by one. That was some self-control, I guess. And so self-control is actually a more deliberate, conscious, and effortful subset of self-regulation. So self-control is a form of self-regulation, but it's like a subset, a subtype of self-regulation. And so humans are fairly predictable, right? We have habits that are well ingrained within us. And if we try to change something or add something new to our habitual way of responding, right, our pre-existing habits may impact them. And so self-control is the ability to override that. And so what is successful self-control, right? Successful self-control must include standards and monitoring. So you have, and strength. So you have to set clear standards, right? You have to be specific and clear, and they also should be challenging. And so research with employees has shown that they will do the most work and achieve the best results when they're given specific and difficult goals, because this makes goals seem more meaningful. Obviously, you don't want it to be like the hardest goal that it's unachievable, but you want it to be at a challenge level that's appropriate for the person that you, for what you're setting the goal with. And you want to make sure that the goal doesn't conflict with other goals that you have. You want to also be able to constantly monitor and adjust as needed, because sometimes your goals just aren't realistic and you need to adjust your goal, or you need to adjust the ways that you're trying to reach your goal, or find new ways to reach your goal, or just adjust your expectations about when you're going to reach your goal. Sometimes anxiety and stress are motivational, right? They make your brain want to take action to reduce those feelings of anxiety and distress. And so at a moderate level of stress, you actually reach maximum performance. And so when you're when you're monitoring your progress on your goals, you're getting feedback about where you currently are and where you want to be, which is like reaching your goal. And that difference between where you currently are and where you want to be can be very motivating. And so being able to get that feedback and that information from whatever sort of monitoring you're doing to reach your goal. Like, for example, if your goal is to, be able to climb the Montreal in under, I don't know how long it takes people to climb, like in under 10 minutes. Is that like a good goal? I don't know. If that's your goal, then you obviously like your feedback or your monitoring would be the timing that it takes you to get your goal, how many stops that you take, etc. And then there's strength, right? Part of self-control includes strength, which is like a pool of resources, a pool of willpower that gives you the ability to do something that's tough, to engage in self-control, right? This helps us find the energy, the drive, and the persistence to pursue our goal. And actually, someone's level of self-control is better at predicting grades, attendance at school, and standardized test scores than the IQ test. Right? Because self-control is really tied to the big five personality trait of conscientiousness, which I don't know if you remember, we talked about in like a few years ago or a few months ago. A few months ago. And conscientiousness is like staying on task, being organized, planning ahead, being timely. So a lot of organizational skills, and self-control is related to that. And so Baumeister, one of the researchers who came up with this definition of self-control, says that our self-control strength is like a limited resource. It's something that can be depleted. And so he did this study where he gave people two consecutive tasks. The first task required a lot of self-control. And so you're being put in a lab, for example, like you're told that you're participating in a study about taste testing, and you can either have really delicious smelling cookies or radishes. In the control condition, you could eat the cookie. In the experimental condition, the participants were only allowed to eat the radishes, but they had to look at the cookies and be there with the cookies. So you're left alone with the cookies, and you have to exercise self-control not to eat them and to eat a raw radish. And then the experimenters are like, okay, that experiment's over. Now we're going to do a completely different thing. And the participants are led to believe that there's no link between this task that they just did with the cookies and the next task. And so the next task also requires a little bit of self-control and attention. And it's this puzzle that was actually unsolvable. So they had to work on a puzzle that they didn't know was unsolvable. And the researchers wanted to see how long people would spend on this puzzle before giving up on it. And they found that when you had to exercise self-control about not eating cookies, so when you were in the condition where you were only allowed to eat the radishes, you behaved worst worse on this task. So the people who ate the radishes gave up much faster on the puzzle task than the people who had chocolate. And they also reported feeling more tired afterwards. And so the idea is that when in our everyday life, if we're having to use a lot of self-control, for example, even in the morning, we might have less self-control in the afternoon. This is something called ego depletion, right? So when you deal with stress all day, you're going to find yourself depleted and vulnerable to goal failure, especially at the end of the day. And people who are very successful in one or more areas of their life are successful precisely because that's where they devote the bulk of their capacity for self-control. That's where they devote all their willpower to. And many of us have activities that allow us to replenish our self-control. So our self-control isn't, like this ego depletion isn't permanent, right? It's only temporary, and you're most vulnerable after you've used up your self-control resources. And so, you have to, you know, balance your work and your willpower and your self-control and, you know, your discipline with tasks that also fill you up and make you feel more able and willing to do the things that you maybe necessarily don't want to do. And so we can also train our self-control strength to grow, and we can also help ourselves by setting different kinds of goals to help us reach them faster. So Dr. Phil, I don't know if it's the same Dr. Phil, but Dr. Phil has a framework for how we should set goals. It's called the SMART. They're SMART goals. And let's listen to a song, because I don't want to talk. I feel like I've been talking for so long. I've just been listening to this song a lot. This is called Shut Up, My Mom's Calling by Hotel Ugly. Okay, bye. Enjoy.
I just want to rewind. I haven't seen you in a long time. You got me feeling so lonely. Even when you come through, I can tell that it isn't you. So baby, bring it in closely. Hate the way I love you, but you're so sweet. I always find a way to say the wrong things. I wish that we were laying in the same sheets. But lately you've been acting like you hardly know me.
So how should we set goals for ourselves? What kind of goals should we set? What are the best goals to help us, to support us, right? So, sorry, before we talk about what kind of goals that we should set, this is why New Year's resolutions aren't the best for us. Is January in Montreal really a good time to set new goals, right? Not necessarily, because there's a lot happening during that time, right? You're getting organized with classes or with work, right? You're coming home from the holidays. You're coming back from the holidays. You're trying to get back into schedule. The winter is at its peak and it's very cold. And so you're already using a lot of self-control resources simply just by doing everyday tasks, right? And so reaching a goal requires a lot of self-control. You have to work hard. You have to persist despite challenges. You have to stay focused. You have to avoid temptations. You have to monitor your progress. You have to be honest and critical with yourself, et cetera, right? You need a lot of self-control. And you do these things in your everyday life outside of your efforts to reach your goal. So you might not have enough self-control strength after doing your day-to-day necessary activities, like literally getting out of bed, brushing your teeth, flossing, all take up a lot of self-control resources. And you might not have enough to dedicate towards, you know, reaching a new goal, especially at this time when you're trying to, you know, come back into schedule after being so relaxed or just not being in work for a while. And after like the winter, you know, getting around in the winter is a lot harder. Going outside is a lot harder, at least for me. And so actually people have suggested that Canada Day or just sometime in the mid of the year might actually be better to set goals because, you know, it's a lot easier to set goals because it's warmer. Well, things are just starting to get warm, you know, and we always have that like high when we ride when the summer first comes. And so that's when we have maybe a lot more time to devote to our goals. We have a lot more time to be outside and to fill our own cup so that our ego depletion doesn't last as long, right? It's only temporary. So what goals, what kind of goals should we set? SMART goals. These SMART goals are called SMART goals because, well, it's an acronym. So they stand for specific, measurable, achievable, approach-oriented, realistic, and time-framed. And so specific goals, you have to make them specific, right? For example, you saying, oh yeah, like I want to be really good at playing, playing the tuba. What is really good, right? Like how you need to set yourself clear parameters and expectations so that you know when you're falling short and you know what you're falling short on. They have to be measurable, right? You have to be able to monitor your progress and track and make adjustments as needed. They have to be achievable, which means they're under your control, right? And so they have to be achievable and realistic. So for example, if I set a goal of like getting along better with my brother or like being able to bond with my brother, right? There's another person involved in that goal, and it may not be something that I can change fully because it depends on them. It depends on my brother as well and his attitude and he, you know? So there are some goals that I can reach to the best of my ability. And also doing your best means doing your best without sacrificing your mental or physical health. And so a lot of, and even if you don't do your best, you're still good enough. So yeah, they have to be achievable and under your control. And so you can still set goals like wanting to get along better with your brother, but things like that, or things that are also dependent on another person or another event or situation that you may not always have a complete control over might be a little bit harder. So hold yourself a little forgiveness if those kinds of goals are a little bit harder to reach. They also want to be approach oriented. And so you want your goals to be stated in a positive way, right? As something you approach versus be stated in a negative way, like something you want to avoid. There's evidence that cognitively it's just easier for your brain. It's easier to keep in mind something that you're trying to approach because there's less paths to get that way, but there's many ways to avoid something. And so they're easier to track and conceptualize than having avoidance goals. And so approach goals actually pair really well with promotion goals or a promotion orientation or like a promotion approach to things. So there's two different kinds of ways to frame the way that you say something, I guess. One of them can be promotion focused and one of them can be prevention focused. And so what this means, promotion goals promotion focus goals are thought about in terms of achievement and accomplishment. So this is doing something you would ideally like to do. This is wanting to maximize the gains that you get and avoid your missed opportunities. And so we don't necessarily consciously do things, speak in like promotion or prevention oriented ways, but we can go back and see the way that we talk to ourselves and see the way that we frame things. And we can label them as either promotion or prevention oriented. So for example, so this is saying something like, I want to get into medical school because I've always dreamed of being a doctor. That's like one, that's a promotion orientation. For example, and a prevention focus goal is thought about in terms of safety and danger. So it's about fulfilling your responsibilities and doing things that you feel like you ought to do. So this goal is about minimizing losses. It's about trying to hang on what you've got. Whereas promotion goals, again, are about maximizing gains and doing something you'd ideally like to do. Prevention is doing something you feel like you have to do or you feel like you should do. So for example, this would be like, if I don't get into med school, I'll let my parents and myself down, right? So that's like, okay, in both situations, your goal is to get into med school, but one of them is promotion focused, right? I want to get into med school because I've always wanted to be a doctor, or prevention focused. If I don't get into med school, I'll let my parents myself down and I have to prevent that from happening. So approach oriented goals and promotion focused goals are a lot easier and a lot more positively motivating, which is just a better way to frame your goals. I mean, it works both ways. It's just promotion. The way that you talk to yourself is a little bit nicer, I think. Kind of relating to the achievable, the next one is realistic. So it has to be optimally challenging, right? Are you ready for this goal? Is this the right time to be doing it? Is this the right level of challenge, right? You want to make sure your goals are difficult but possible, because more difficult goals can often cause you to unconsciously increase your effort, focus, and commitment and make better use of the most effective strategies. And T's, right? S-M-A-A-R-T. T is time framed. And so you can have distal goals, which are goals that are further away in time, or proximal goals which are goals that are closer in time. So typically we have hierarchies for our goals, right? We have a distal goal that's kind of far into the future, that's inspiring, that's something that we're working towards. And then we have smaller proximal goals to help us reach that goal. And so these two different types of goals serve different purposes, and they impact our choices and our plans that we do. And so, for example, if I'm like, in 2 months, I want to do the winter pentathlon, in 2 months, I want to do the winter pentathlon. That's my distal goal. So I'm going to set myself a bunch of proximal goals to help build towards reaching that goal. So this week, maybe my goal is going to be, I'm going to work on running. And then next week, I'll work on biking. And then the week after, I'll work on skiing. And then I'll do all of them at the same time. So you set a goal to reach each week. And then at the end, you'll have reached your distal goal, which is sometime in the future. And so, yeah, these two different types of goals, proximal or distal, serve different purposes. So distal goals are more abstract, right? When you think about the things that you do each day, when you're describing them by focusing on why you're doing them. So for example, I'm pushing my vacuum right now because I want to keep things clean. And so these goals are more inspiring and motivating because they're more abstract. And you can link everything that you do to this one bigger, greater meaning or purpose that you're working towards. And so you're guided by the big picture. But distal goals don't really tell us what to do right now. They just provide us with some motivation. And so when you think about long-term goals, you pay more attention to desirability information. So for example, does taking this action or achieving this goal result in good things for you? Is it fun? Is it pleasant? Or is it rewarding? But then so many times, like, we'll commit ourselves to something in the future that seems like a good idea at the time, but becomes more boring as the day comes. So for example, I'm like, oh yes, I'm going to go to this concert with you next week or in a month. And it sounds really fun, but like, I don't really know the artist, but I think it'll be really fun. And like, I love concerts, so I'm going to agree to go with you. And then suddenly the concert's like in 5 days and I'm like, oh wait, fuck, why did I agree to that? I actually don't want to do that at all. Like, I don't know why I said yes. That's not something that's really appealing to me. And so we can commit ourselves to something in the future that seems like a good idea at the time, But we don't really spend that much time thinking about whether or not we could actually make it work, right? We don't really think about the logistics. We were thinking about why we want to do it, right? It's fun, it's rewarding, it's desirable, and not what. And so when we think about proximal goals are more concrete, right? You think of a behavior in terms of what you're doing. So in the distal goals, we talked about, I'm pushing a vacuum because it's about keeping things clean. Whereas in a proximal goal, it would be, I'm pushing a vacuum because I'm sucking up crumbs, right? I don't like these crumbs and I want to get rid of them. And so thinking this way is really useful when you need to do something that's more difficult or unfamiliar or complex or takes a lot of time to learn, because it allows you to be more realistic about your time and prevent procrastination, right? It directs your focus on feasibility information. So distal goals direct your attention to more desirability information. Proximal goals are about feasibility. Can I do this? How likely am I to succeed? What stands in the way? And so for proximal things, we turn down spur of the moment chances to be able to do something fun or interesting or rewarding because it seems maybe like too much of hassle, right? Because we get too focused on the what we need to be doing and bogged down by the details that we sort of maybe we pass up on opportunities that actually might be really rewarding. So you can both, there's no right or wrong here. Like these, both of these goals are equally good. You can just choose them when you're trying, when you think about the purpose of what you want to achieve and like what you actually want to do, then you can frame your goal in either a proximal or distal way so that it helps you achieve what you're trying to do better, because one of them is more appropriate as an overarching motivational goal, whereas some of them are more practical and like how to do it and what you actually need to do. So for example, experienced coffee drinkers. So they did a study about this, and experienced coffee drinkers were asked to drink a cup of coffee and then rate how well certain descriptions fit with what they had done. And so there were a lot of abstract why-based descriptions, like I'm drinking coffee to get energized or to promote my caffeine habit. Or there's a lot of what-based descriptions, like I'm drinking my coffee, I'm drinking liquid, I'm swallowing, I'm blowing on the cup of coffee. And half of them drank out of a normal mug, just a normal mug, and half of them drank from like a really absurdly heavy mug. And so people who drank out of the normal weighted mug chose the more abstract decisions. So under normal conditions, people who are used to drinking coffee preferred to think about drinking coffee in terms of the reason why they were drinking it. Whereas heavy mug drinkers preferred the more concrete what descriptions, right? To drink out of a cup that's heavier than expected without spilling it meant people needed to concentrate more on the mechanics of drinking and what they were actually doing. And so when actions are difficult to accomplish, it's a lot easier and more helpful to think about what we're doing in terms of simple, concrete terms instead of more lofty, like abstract why terms. And as we gain more experience doing something and it becomes easier for us, the more that we do it, we often start to see it in a more abstract way. And so these things will just sort of naturally happen. It's not necessarily something that you always consciously need to do, but it might be helpful that if you're trying to reach a more difficult goal, you remind yourself of why you're reaching that goal, right? For example, if you're trying to reach the difficult goal of getting a perfect score on my exam, you need to set proximal goals to get there. Like I have to make sure I study this chapter this many to X amount of times, this chapter X amount of times, and then X amount of times a week and X amount of times, like X amount of hours a day. And so making sure you're setting those very concrete, specific, what you actually need to do goals. Like I need to study, I need to read the textbook, I need to make study notes and flashcards, and then reminding yourself, oh yeah, I want to get an A on this exam because I'm really passionate about this course and I want to get a good job, or I don't know, like whatever your overarching motivation is for reaching this goal. And so it's helpful to have both. It's just one sometimes can be more helpful in situations than others. So you have to be aware of that. So we talked about how self-control is a limited resource, and sometimes we don't have enough resources to devote to our goals simply because we're spending them doing everyday tasks, and that's also okay. For example, like whenever you look at like Bill Gates, is he still alive? I'm not sure. Okay. So for example, Bill Gates wears pretty much the same thing every day, like t-shirt and jeans, black t-shirt and jeans. Steve Jobs, when he was alive, he just always, I think he always wore like a black t-shirt and jeans. And he's, and so when we spend a lot of cognitive effort, for example, in the morning, figuring out what to wear, that take, that is something that takes up a lot of our self-control resources that we might not even be aware of. And so people, I don't know, my prof has made that analogy or that comparison, being like, people like Steve Jobs spend a lot of their self-control resources in areas that they're actually the most passionate about and that they're most successful about. And that's where they devote a lot of their self-control resources to. So picking out an outfit and having an outfit crisis might not be the best way to start your day. So you should pick out your outfit and have the outfit crisis the night before, so that when you wake up, you don't have to think about what you're wearing. You already know it. And then you have a lot more energy to devote to other things. So being aware of your self-control resources and setting SMART goals. So what are SMART goals? They're specific, they're measurable, they're achievable, they're approach-oriented, they're realistic, and they're time-framed. That's all I have for today, because it's already 2:55 and time flies so much when you're having fun. Next month, we'll either have Ben back again, maybe with his dad. Ben and his dad will maybe be coming to talk to us a little bit more about mindfulness and meditation, because we had so much fun last time and his dad is in town. So I thought it would be fun for us to all have a chat. Or Jason Finucane from Stigma Zero will be joining us to talk about his company and how he works to reduce stigma in the workplace. So both of those will be really exciting, but unsure yet. I made an Instagram. It's panacea.ckut. So go follow it and I'll post more information. But I'm going to close off with a song and then we're going to have Regia Moore on the decks. I'm going to play I Wish a Bitch Would by Delilah Bond.
I wish a bitch would just to find some release. Don't trust no man, don't trust the police. I wish a bitch would. Wish I didn't wanna break somebody's face. I read the news, another story of a girl murdered and raped. It was a cop. He had a family. He didn't know her. Didn't know. Intrusive thoughts run through my mind when I'm out alone, hands by my side, and I can't help thinking maybe one day it'll be my body. They find the part of me just wants to fight. Most of me is sick and tired. Part of me just wants to lose my fucking shit. Let it have it, bitch. No, not this time won't go your way. You can beg me to play, play along with your games, but I'm the one that's screaming. But I'm the one that's screaming. Got him down on his knees. Roll reverse, look at me. I like to see. I am the rapture, your captor. Your every single limb of like this child molester. Inside me are the cries of every grown-up. Your foster who cannot sleep at night because of flashbacks of childhood. The innocence you talk of. I won't let you get away. The justice system might have failed, but tonight I'll paint the town red for those that you took. Look you right in your face. See this girl? Say her name. Say her name. Say her name. Say her name. When I'm walking down the street, I wish a bitch would just to find some release. Don't trust no man, don't trust the police. I wish a bitch would. Bodies in the ground. How do you feel knowing you covered it up, knowing she'll never be found? How do you sleep? How do you eat? How do you live with such inner peace? How do you sleep with your wife and your kids and just carry?